Good morning. It's Sunday, March the 15th, 2015. In the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you for joining me for the Sunday morning webcast as we look at Psalms, Eternal Lessons. But let's let Brian McKnight give you the story of my life, because this is the way I feel about God whenever I think about Him and me. Listen.
Thinking back when we first met,
1967,
I remember what you said
when He entered my life.
You said you never leave me,
and He never has left me, been by my side ever since. Listen to this, listen.
I let go.
Know what Brian's talking about?
Built my castle in the sand.
Something that wouldn't last.
But now I'm reaching out again, and I'm not letting go.
Because I need a foundation.
You
do what? Listen, listen.
Mold me.
Yeah.
Mold me.
Mold me, God.
Sometimes I feel so all alone.
All alone. Nobody comes around. Yeah, listen.
See, I gotta find my way back home.
Listen.
So I don't hear.
Why don't you listen?
Shape me.
Shape me.
Make me.
Make me.
Wash me whiter than the snow. I gotta find my way back home.
America needs to sing that song. All together this Sunday morning, we gotta find our way back home.
Master, upon
listen,
my knees I pray.
That's where we need to be, on our knees.
I just wanna be the clay.
I wanna be the clay. Listen.
Put your arms around me.
That's what I want God to do. Wrap me up in His love this morning. Listen.
Place my life in Your hands.
That's right, Brian.
Lord, I know I'm just a understand.
Yes.
This time I'm not letting go.
You do it, Jesus.
You
listen, listen, listen.
Anoint me.
Anoint me.
Appoint me.
Appoint me.
Sometimes I feel so all alone.
It's all right, boy. You just keep going. Listen.
See, I gotta find my way back home.
Yeah.
So why don't you
do what?
Chastise me.
Chastise me. What?
Baptize,
baptize
me.
Baptize me, yeah.
Wash me whiter than the snow.
Why is that?
I gotta find my way. Cause I'm lost and alone. I've been wandering long enough to know humbly.
Sunday mornings that I feel this connection more than any other time during the week. Sunday mornings. Man, 10:30 here in Los Angeles. Do you know what I'd be doing? I'd be in my church study preparing to go out there and preach the word. Ooh, and then to record that tape and share that tape with the multitudes of people. My goodness. The good old days. But here on this March the 15th, 2015, a Sunday morning in Los Angeles, there goes the fruit man going by the Lucy Coleman studio. Want to apologize. I bet he got some good fruit on that truck. There he is, stopped right in front of my house. Yes, yes. That's what I love about the Latina community. They work together. They work together. Nobody's asking him if he has a license to sell that fruit. He's blowing that horn. Those people can go out and get that. Man, I'm telling you, like the good old days. That's the way Los Angeles was when I was a kid coming up. It's good to be your internet pastor, Pastor John. I'm in very good spirits this Sunday morning because God has been very good to me. Early this Sunday morning, I got a phone call. I had to get out of bed and go somewhere, and I looked at the car somebody was driving, and it was basically total. I had to take him home, spend a little time with him. But God is good. I told him, God is watching out over you. And so I got up kind of late this Sunday because that was an emergency. But they're just shaken up by, you know, the seatbelt burns and everything like that. But I'm trusting that all will be well with the three people that were in the car. It's very dangerous living in this city. But let's not talk about that. I owe you an apology for not having the webcast up yesterday. And you obviously want to know what's been going on in my mind. I've been toying with this police brutality thing and the people retaliating and all that stuff and what they're leading our country into. And I don't want to go there. It's as if the four times that I did the three shows, everything went wrong and I couldn't post them up. So frustrated. I couldn't even get on my website. It was God's way of saying stop. And so what I thought that I'd do is I do what the Lord always leads me to do, is to go to his blessed word. Not to give my commentary about a darn thing, because who cares anything about what I feel about anything? The only thing that matters is that God. Aha. I mention his name and I don't know him fully. Now I know what the Jews meant so many years ago when they said that you don't even mention his name. We're not worthy to mention his name as human creatures. We're not. He's to be worshipped. He's to be adored. He's to be treasured in our hearts. That's what Sunday mornings used to be like, but now it's a treasure chest for the pastor. Oh my God. Go with me to Psalm chapter 64. We're just going to read through some verses in this marvelous, marvelous book of poetry and truisms, and I just want to share it with you. It's a prayer for deliverance from secret enemies. Did you know that each of us have secret enemies? Enemies that do not want us to prosper in any way. Enemies that don't want us to remain in the forefront with God. An enemy that lives for the the destruction of the righteous heart. And I'm not talking about ISIS. I'm not talking about this imaginary enemy that has been put forth by governmental forces and all that stuff. Like I've said before, if you can put a man on the moon, for darn sure you can send a little satellite over their headquarters and put them out of commission. But that's for another time, another state, another day. Let's see what the psalmist says. This is a psalm of David. He says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint." Ah, don't we have complaints. We are full of complaints. And then he says, "Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy." That's what I needed from God today. I need God to preserve me from getting caught up in the things of this world. Never to get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in having arguments about Jay-Z and Beyonce. Don't get caught up with the Illuminati bullhorn. Who cares about that foolishness? Let's stay hard following after Yahweh. That's it. Yeah, I don't care whether you're Christian, Muslim, Islamic, Hindu, whatever. Follow hard after Yahweh. Let his spirit come into you. It is a good one. It will abide with you. It says, "Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers." Yes, yes, hide me from it. Protect me from it. Guard me against it. And then I'll be able to sing like Brian just did. Oh man, I want to be close to you. I want to be bound with you. I want to be connected with you. I want to be one with you, God. And I want you to do that in me. Then he goes on in verse 2 and says, "From the tumult of those who do iniquity." Because he's exactly right so many thousands of years ago when this man penned this. And David was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't altogether pure. You remember what he did to Uriah the Hittite? Had that man killed? Had the Hittite killed? He was a black commander in David's army, and he had him killed to get his fine woman. And now he says, hide me from the secret council of evildoers. He was an evildoer when he took Bathsheba. But you see, all of us are evildoers. And until we are able to recognize this in our own hearts, souls, minds, and life, and then to say this to our almighty creator, and to bow our knee to him, and to subject our lives to him, then we will not ever surely be saved. We must come to doing that. Now look at verse 3. He says, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. He's talking about the evildoers, because that's what they do. They'll sharpen their tongue like a sword. I helped a young man, and after I had to put the young man out of my house because he moved too slow, and I want a young man to move faster than that in trying to do something. Show yourself worthy of employment, and maybe somebody will hire you. You know what I mean? Get up off your lazy butt and do something, man. Come on. Can't be, I want to be famous. I want to be rich. You should hear some of these young men talk. I want to be famous. I want to be rich. A young man came in my house visiting me from another mutual friend, and he says, oh, I really like your house. I said, man, I've been developing this since 1973. Don't get it twisted. This didn't happen overnight. This was years and years and years of preparation. I said, it's no longer my wife's furniture because she's in another place. This is me. And he says, you know, I kind of like that. And so I said, now develop your own. See what I mean? See what I mean? Instead of being bitter. Look what it says. Who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. Verse 3b says, they aim bitter speech as their arrow. Because that's what they'll do. See, they can't shoot you with a bow and arrow now, but they can sure cut you in shreds with their mouths. Don't let that bother you. Hey, Lord, I must be doing something right if people are talking about me like that. I mean, I got that on one of my albums here. I may play it before I go off the air today. Look at it. Look at verse 4. It says, to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly, they shoot at him and do not fear. That's right. Wicked people will try to tear you down. Now, you know what? They don't try to tear me down anymore as a pastor, because I told them, I don't want your money. I don't want a part of the livelihood that God has given you. Now, it's one way to pay for a church building, and you can call it a tenth, especially if you got a note. The pastor can't do it by himself. The officer sure enough can't do it. I know, because when I was into that, I had officers under me. But there was a time in ministry that I came to when the deed was burned. Y'all need to go to the beach and have some fun. That's when my preaching ministry changed, because the people that had been paying for the building well over 30 or 40 years had never paid for it. And so when we burned the deed and the building was ours, now keep your money and do what you want. No, they didn't want that. We want to give you an anniversary. You can keep that. I don't need you giving me no money. I can work. Look how good God is to me. People ask me when I resigned as a pastor, how are you going to continue to make it, Pastor John? I said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Is he not supplying them? No, he's not giving me carte blanche money, plain like that. I'm getting a little SS from Lucy's life of being with me 34 years. Social Security helps me out when I want to go out to dinner. But I'm talking about God has given me the ability to get up and go to work every day as an adjunct professor. I am pleased to Jesus for that. I was telling the church, I don't need you. I never did need you. You need God, and you need to trust him, and I'm going to show you how to do it. I quit. But am I ever going to quit preaching this word? No. You're not going to find a surer word on the internet than right here at this website. That's right. Look at verse 5. David talking about what wicked man will do. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of lying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? You see, that's what wicked people do. Now, let's look at this. First part of this verse, they hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. In other words, they have an agenda. They have a thesis. And their thesis is to destroy the testimony of the wicked. It doesn't have to do that, that is, of the wise. It doesn't have to do that too much, because the wise have already, of their own volition, destroyed their own cotton-picking testimony. I know many a day I have destroyed mine. I'm not playing with you, man. I know what I am. These wonderful lessons in the book of Psalms speak to me. Look at the other part of verse 5. They talk of laying snares secretly. Yes. In other words, how can we get him? How can we? Look, you don't have to lay a snare. Just flat out attack me. You know, if I were a general searching out ISIS, this terroristic group, I'd just say, come on, man, let's take some weaponry over there and about two or three battalions of men, and we'll wipe that thing out in about 30 minutes. because I'm thinking like a man. When I was in the Army back in the 60s, the late 60s, because I got drafted in 65, got out in 67, they made men of you. They took me right out of South Central, right out of Central City, out of a major population. I met black boys and white boys and Mexican boys and Asian boys from all over this country, from small hamlets, small villages, to Chicago, Memphis, Miami, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, man, Newark, New Jersey. I mean, these big cities and little country, man, I'll never forget. I forgot his name now, this boy that, Choice, his name was Choice, and he was from some little town in Georgia, and he had these little bubble eyes, and he and I were best of friends. We were both 21 years old. I'll never forget that boy. I got his picture around here somewhere. I remember those days. I remember all the way back when we could leave Fort Polk, the Army Polk, and take a bus and go into Leesville, Louisiana. And I was called a Negro. We don't serve Negroes here. It didn't upset me. That was before I made a claim to know God. But there was a peace in my heart and a love for Dorothy. That was her name, Dorothy's Donut House. I wonder if that's still in Leesville, Louisiana. And how valiant her husband was to take up for us soldiers. They were training us to send us to Vietnam to be killed. And I said, well, ma'am, I don't know what a nigger is, but I didn't want that. I wanted a glazed donut. That's the way I answered her. And it wasn't sarcastic. And I wasn't even a professing believer, but I knew that I had to give an example to the other GIs that were around me. These are our citizens. These are our people. Dorothy's husband comes out of the back. And he chides her for that, and he had tears in his eyes, and he says, these boys are going over there, and some of them ain't coming back. He brought a whole tray of donuts out and said, you boys can eat free. And I said, thank you, sir, but no, we'll pay for it, but we'll go elsewhere. Because I didn't know how to deal with being called that name. And so when I think about our country here in 2015, and that was way back in 1965, yeah, 65. That was summer of 1965. I'll never forget it. And this foolishness is still reigning supreme in our country. All I can do is call on God and say, help us. Help us get to our knees. Look at verse 6. Wait a minute. I didn't finish it. And who can see them? In other words, they're laying snares for me in secret. Who can see them? Verse 6, they devise injustice, saying, we are ready with the well-conceived plot. See, that's what our government has done. That's what our president has done. I won't go deeply into it because I told you on the face of the website, I'm not going to do that anymore. You have to research these things for yourself. Man, I could not believe what I saw, and it was true, and it rocked me to the core of my manhood. It rocked me. And I'm telling you, look at this. We are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. In other words, these plots are deep. The wickedness is deep. Read your Bible. as you read the headlines, when you go to CNN, when you see all this stuff, read your Bible. Ask God to give you the chapter and verse to open up to, and you can see what can happen. This is a love book, and it's also a book of judgment and punishment and danger if we ignore it. Look at verse 7. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded. Oh, praise God. The psalmist doesn't say, I want to get them. I want to fight back. I went on something on the internet yesterday, and these white people was talking about how they're arming themselves up, going to gun stores, buying all these different kinds of weapons when the race war starts in this country. Now, I want to talk to you that know God. I don't care whether you're black, white, Mexican, Chinese, purple, from Mars or the moon or wherever the heck you're from. If you got a brain that can think and a heart that can pump blood and a mind that can love Jehovah Yahweh, listen to me. Listen to me. Let him be your defense. Those that love God will not go out and arm themselves up to the T. Oh, I know you got to protect your family when chaos comes, but to arm yourself and tell people over this internet that you just bought this weaponry and you're going to kill the monkey people, meaning the black people, when they come in your part of the village, this is sacrilege. Look what it says. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded. Look at verse 8. So they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake their head. See, do you know what verse 7 and 8 is saying? You let them go ahead and go on and do their hootenannies. You see, that's what had me under the gun yesterday, because I'm reading all this stuff, reading all these blogs back and forth, people calling each other ethnic terrible names on this particular blog. I won't give it to you. I will not even give Satan a place. And that's what I did on the other website I was giving you. On the other webcast, I was giving you the name of that stuff, but it was giving place to the devil. And whatever I did, I could not put that thing up. I will not give him place. I'm warning you that love and believe in God, not to be a part of that group. Now, look at this. Look at this. Let's continue to read. Verse 9 says, then all men will fear. That's after God acts. Because when God acts, my friend, then everybody's going to take him seriously. See, nobody's taking God seriously because we got Disneyland, we got Magic Mountain, we can go to the movies, we can make a highball, marijuana is legal, we can get our heads spinning, we can laugh at the playoffs and March Madness, right? This is March 15th, right? March Madness. Who's going to be the champion basketball player? Who's going to be the next star? Dancing with the Stars, you know, Georgia Housewives, New York Whores. I mean, we can look at all this stuff. We got 150 cable stations we can look at to keep us entertained. Eyes glued to the television screen. I got in late this morning around 4:15 after I had to go and meet somebody when they was involved in a crash, and I couldn't sleep, and so I turned on my little box TV, and the Cisco Kid was on, you know, with Leo Carrillo and the other guy that starred as the Cisco Kid, and it was the color ones. And I watched 1.5 shows and I fell asleep. But it was peaceful because it was a cowboy movie and it was innocence. And I watched the way they made the film. My mind did not go to sleep with foolishness on it. I didn't want to watch murder, mayhem, zombies going bad, all that negative devil stuff in my mind. Oh, no. Verse 9 says, then all men will fear and will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. You see, verse 9, the psalmist says, just let God start responding to this stuff. Not you, Pastor John. Not you getting yourself upset all day Saturday. You couldn't even get a decent webcast out. You couldn't listen to the right kind of music. You couldn't eat a decent breakfast. Your head was spinning because you know what Jesus said about that? He said, men's hearts are failing them for fear from looking at the things that are coming on the world. Yes, we are living through times of tribulation. You can keep your pre-meal a post mill, a general mills, any of those things you can keep. We are living in perilous times. Our theological institutions are altogether corrupt. The people that run our churches are corrupt, are not even called to proclaim the truth. If you gave them an inch of a mile to do it, I'd love to have a so-called female pastor here sitting next to me, giving her explanation of some of these verses. She'd be talking to you like Mammy Yoakum, trying to keep you safe. But I know God. God will protect. No, that's not in the Bible. He didn't say he was going to protect anything. No, he didn't. Verse 9 says, then all men will fear. How many men? All men, even you, that think God is going to do a work in you. All will declare the work of God. This ain't about your denomination, your church, your money, your power, your territory. No, not at all. And then these men are going to consider what God has done. Look at verse 10. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in him. You see that? When you're righteous and the judgment comes on America, you're not going to be crying, oh God, stop it. I'm going to say, let it rain. And if it comes in the form of Katrina in Southern California, if it comes in the form of a massive earthquake, in Japan, it came in the form as a tremendous tsunami. In those Polynesian islands, back in 2005, it came as a tsunami there. See, God's not going to speak necessarily with another foreign army coming in to occupy us. That could be the fact, because all in the Old Testament. See, that's why they don't want you to read this Bible. Because if you read this book, and God tells you plainly what he's going to do. Look at this. The righteous will be glad in the Lord, verse 10, and will take refuge in him. And all the upright in heart will glory. Did you see that? That's why, my friends, I cannot, I will not, I must not walk around in dread saying, oh my God, look at what these people are doing. They're shooting each other down in the streets. Oh, law enforcement has gone crazy and now we don't respect the law. Wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute. What are the black people saying, that they're going to go around shooting cops in the face? What? No, friend, when that happens, there's going to be chaos coming to this country. Now, look at how much we've learned just from 10 small verses from Psalm 64. 10 small verses that spoke to my heart after 2 or 3 days of me being in chaos. I hope that you gained something out of reading your Bible with me for this 30-minute Sunday morning webcast. Don't look at what is coming on you. Yes, it's horrible. It's wicked. Try to warn your family and your children to cleave unto the Lord, hold to him. I'm not talking like some crazy behind evangelist is trying to get your money. Don't send me nothing. My email is at the bottom of my front page. You can write me if you want and say good job, bad job, whatever you want to say. Know this, that there are reasons why things are happening to this planet. Strange weather patterns, difficult behavior in people, mannerisms of our children that were so arbitrary and so ambiguous and so anti-life. I was telling a young man yesterday, I said, be careful who you seek to partner up with, because if you have not explored them and discovered who that person is, what that person believes, how that person wants to live, you are making a mistake. And the young man who was Hispanic thanked me for telling him that, because he said, no one speaks to us like that. I said, of course they don't. Because in this world, everybody says, everything's coming up roses. I beg your pardon. God never promised you a rose garden. But anyhow, this is Pastor John, your internet pastor, just taking something simply from the book of Psalms. There's so much when you read your Bible, and it brings peace and comfort to your hearts. For those of you that have never picked up this book and trying to find that peace, that's what I want you to do. Find peace in the Word of God. That's why I call this apologetic ministry Into the Word, which is the biblical alternative. It's an alternative to the mess that you can go through when you don't spend enough time with God. I think I've said enough. I promised to play a record for you. Let's see if this record goes along with the theme. Yeah, I was looking through the archives of my music and I found this is a very interesting record. I want you to listen to the words and I think it'll end up this webcast just perfect. You'll get my drift when you hear it.
When Sherman. I was a young boy and starting to grow.
Yeah.
My mother said, son, there's something you ought to know.
What did she say?
When you're doing right
and
living like you should,
what's going to happen?
Then the devil's going to worry you good.
The devil's going to worry you good. Listen, listen. See, that fake God is going to try to work you. Now, listen to what they say.
Must be doing something right.
Something right.
Must be walking right in the light.
How's that?
I got the devil. Uptight.
Show you do.
Must be doing something right.
Ah, verse 2.
Must be doing something good.
Something good.
Must be living
what?
Like I should.
You got that right.
I think he'd kill me
if he only could.
Must be doing something good. I think I'm messing up this part.
Sing it, boy.
Must be walking right in the light.
Sherman Andrus.
I got the devil real uptight.
All right.
Must be doing something right.
Do you feel that way? Huh? Are you doing something right? Do you have the devil feeling uptight? Or does he have you feeling uptight? See, that's the question. Come on, end this thing up. Come on, boy, sing it. Day. That was a great, I still like that album. From an album called Grand Opening, Andrus Blackwood and Company, 1977 on Green Tree Records. A white boy and a black boy. Sherman Andrus and Terry Blackwood. A white boy and a black boy in America. God bless you. Thank you for coming to my site. It's been great.